driving you home every weekday afternoon. This is 105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Time to introduce you to my guest, who this afternoon is Emma Pierce. Now, Emma has been doing some fundraising for the Muscular Dystrophy Campaign, and she is here ahead of this year's Cambridge Town and Gown 10K, which takes place on October the 12th. Hello, Emma.
Hello there.
Thank you very much for coming in. Now, you've done the race in previous years, haven't you, I think?
I did the one in 2013, which was the second one. The first one was in 2012, and I did the second one. So, yes.
How did you do? What sort of time were you looking at?
I did it in under an hour. I did it in 57 minutes and 57 seconds. There's a team of six of us, and we all finished it, luckily. But yeah, me and my sister came in just under an hour, which was fantastic.
Because you do a lot of fundraising, I think, for the Muscular Dystrophy Campaign, swimming as well as running.
Yes, I did my first open water swim this year at Suffolk Water. I swam 1 mile open water, also to raise money for muscular dystrophy. And me and my friend raised about £1,700. Between us.
That's very good. I don't know if you heard our news at 5 o'clock. It's been revealed that Cambridge is the second most generous city in the country where it comes to fundraising. This is a survey which has been done from Just Giving, based on, I guess, on their own stats. They've crunched all the data together. So
I saw that. Just behind Bedford, was it?
Just behind Bedford, yeah. And Oxford, not even in the top 10.
There we go.
It's it's kind of a fact we have to push home as much as possible. But one of the reasons, I gather, why you're doing the fundraising is that you suffer is maybe the wrong word, but you're certainly living with muscular dystrophy yourself.
Yes, I have a type of muscular dystrophy called FSH, which stands for fascioscapulohumeral, which is your face, shoulders and your arms. Mm. There are a few different types of muscular dystrophy, affecting different both skeletal and smooth muscles, and the one that I have affects mainly the upper body, but it can also affect the lower limbs as well. Mm.
So what does that mean to you sort of every day, if you're just going about your job?
Okay. Well, I guess I'm quite lucky, in inverted commas. My symptoms are relatively mild at the moment. The main things for me is that I can get very tired, very fatigued. I work full time, so I think trying to hold down a job, even though sometimes I'm really, really tired, is probably one of the hardest things. And I get a lot of pain in my upper back. So I'm on painkillers. I've been on painkillers for a number of years now. So
this is the sort of thing which, obviously, it's there all the time, but does it go in waves in terms of, you know, sometimes you're feeling pretty good for a few weeks, and maybe it sort of comes back, and then you're feeling really good. And how does it go through that?
Yeah, it is. It's a progressive disease. So sometimes I do feel really good, actually, especially if I get my fitness up. I'm very keen on my nutrition, but sometimes, yeah, it does hit me. Unfortunately, I had a snowboarding accident about 7 years ago, so I've also had some operations on my lower back, which is completely separate, but it does mean I'm in quite a lot of pain.
I'm guessing one doesn't help the other particularly.
No, absolutely. Yeah. When muscles are damaged with a condition like muscular dystrophy, they don't repair as quickly. So,
Were you quite sporty anyway before being diagnosed with muscular dystrophy?
Yeah, relatively. Kind of looking back now, maybe I understand a little bit more about why I didn't do as well as I'd hoped in sports, but I've always tried. So I have been able to run a 10K, and I have been able to swim a mile. And it's a strange thing, really, because I feel quite motivated having a condition like this. I'm probably doing more than if I didn't have the condition, because I want to do as much as I can before I can't, I guess.
And what happens? What's the long-term prognosis for you?
Well, it's different for everybody. I believe it's 1 in 5 people that have the condition I have will be wheelchair bound. My dad has it a lot more severely than I do. I imagine he's probably not too far off a wheelchair. He's about to get one of those mobility scooters. But again, he works full time. But yeah, it hits him in waves as well. He's just had 5 weeks off work with fatigue.
Right. Is it a family thing? I know, for example, in our family, I've been talking about my eyesight today for various reasons. Like, I've got astigmatism. My dad had astigmatism, and so it kind of matches up in that regard. And yeah. Is it a similar? Completely different thing. I just pop a pair of glasses on and I'm fine. But for muscular dystrophy, is it the sort of thing you see in families like yourself and your father?
It is, yeah. It's a hereditary disease. It can just start with a kind of almost like a mutation. So you can have somebody that doesn't have a family history. But then with the type that I have, every child you have has a 50% chance of having the disease as well. But it's very tricky to know the prognosis because on paper, DNA, mine is a lot more severe than my dad's, yet my symptoms are milder. So that may be because I'm keeping myself fit, because like I say, I look after my nutrition, or it might be that it's just not hit me yet. So it's really tricky, but yeah, it's a hereditary disease.
So on the subject of being fit, I guess fit people are required for the Town and Gown.
Yes.
up and coming on the 12th of October, isn't it?
Yep, 12th of October. Registration's already open, so there's, I think last year's about 800 people did it. So
I was there, but it was difficult to count them all as they went by, really.
Yes, I know, it was so fast, this sea of orange. It's a really, really nice run. It starts, I think it's Victoria Avenue, and it goes through Midsummer Common out up to Fenditton. And around that village, and it follows the river all the way up and all the way back. It's an absolutely beautiful route. It's quite a flat route, so for new runners, people that have never done it before, it's not a bad race to kind of kickstart some training with. So it's a really, really, really nice route to do.
And for the first time, I think there's been some road closures arranged this time around. So
be
peaceful. No chance of getting run over. So can spill into some of the more scenic sights, which would be pretty good being autumn, I guess, or the start of it at least.
I mean, it's not the cars; it's the cows. The cows are the things that got in the way last time because they're free to roam in the fields. So
yeah, but the thing to remember: there's some very nice restaurants here which serve them, so you can get your own back later.
I know. Yeah, I always feel a bit mean when I look at those cows, but yeah.
And you know what they're going to be looking like the next time you see them.
Yes.
Lost most of my vegetarian audience, I think, at this point. But it really is quite a nice little route. I remember looking at the map last time around. And some pretty nice places to pass by, and finishing on Midsummer Common as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, we were really lucky last year. The sun was shining. I was with quite a big group of family and friends. Some of my friends volunteered, which is what I'll do this year because I've got a couple of prolapse discs at the moment, and I'm unable to run. So you can also volunteer. So if there's anybody out there who's interested in doing that, that's kind of looking after bags or marshalling, lots of other jobs they've got. It's a really nice day, and we all headed to the local pub afterwards for some
good decision. Beer.
Yeah.
What do people have to do if they want to take part?
If they go online, if they go onto Google perhaps and type in the Muscular Dystrophy Campaign.
I think there's also a dedicated site, I think, which is townandgown10k.com/Cambridge.
There we go. So, you know more than me.
Well, no, just in case of emergencies, have these things to hand.
Fantastic. So registration's open now.
Right. And I hope it goes well.
Thank you.
We'll be there to see people off, as it were.
Brilliant.
And see them home as well. And we'll have a few more guests, I think, coming in from the event over the next few weeks. And we've also persuaded Merlin, who presents our breakfast show here, to run it as well.
Oh, nice one.
So, yes.
Very good.
Best plan. Get the breakfast show presenter to run it, and I'll just stay behind and do some reporting.
Okay. You're not doing it?
No. I think I'm decidedly unfit at the moment, really, although I suppose it might be a good excuse to...
You've got a few weeks.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess so. I think I'm still better off doing the interview.
Okay, then.
Emma Pearce, thank you very much for joining us and talking to us about the Muscular Dystrophy 10K run.
Julian Clover. Cambridge 105. The top five records from Cambridge's hottest musicians, as voted for by you.
So here we are then on a Thursday night, starting off our entertainment hour, as always, with a look at the unsigned chart made up of local artists from in and around the Cambridge area. We'll start off, as ever, with the new entry for this week from Cody Pennington. Here's About Love.
This is the chart you've been voting for. The unsigned chart on 105 Drive. We'll be right back.
That's a young man who's gone in the opposite direction to Ed Sheeran. He's come from Nashville, Tennessee, and gone to Suffolk. American musician, his name is Cody Pennington. About Love is the new entry in the Unsigned chart this week. It's the title track from an upcoming album called To Be Me, which is available to download now. CodyPennington.com is the place you have to look for that. It's Cambridge 105, up and coming film reviews with Sky and Hattie. But first, let's count down the unsigned chart from 5 through to 1.
The top 5 records from Cambridge's hottest musicians, as voted for by you.
So you've all said non to Ambery Knight this week, so the chart looks like this. At number 5, Young Sun, So Slow, So Long, Subtle. At 4, Alicia Catling, Mighty Fine. 3, Fred's House, Congratulations to Griff and Vicky. Bonnie and Clyde, number 3 in the unsigned chart. At 2, Tom Lumley, Every Day. At number 1, Screen People, All Seeing Eyes.
The unsigned chart.
If it works, it will be bliss. I'll be reborn again. Have at this, but if it works, you will be missed. You'll be reborn again. But the darkness from your seeing eyes consumes the endless hate and lies of goodness, will, and love. But if it works, it will be bliss. They've won, I'll give you that.
About 15 minutes ago, I got a text from Hattie saying, oh, we're just around the corner. They're not here yet. All Seeing Eyes, that's Screen People. And number one, the unsigned chart this week. If you want to vote, you just need to go along to the website cambridge105.fm/unsigned chart. You'll hear tracks from around Cambridge throughout the day on the home of Cambridge music, Cambridge 105. We'll feature tracks certainly here on Drive on Monday night. Yes, we're here on the bank holiday. Just after six, we'll count the unsigned chart as it stands. Then Tim will deliver the new chart as ever on a Wednesday night, just after eight, as part of the new music generator. Bastille next on Cambridge 105 is Oblivion. Of course, there's a pub between here and the corner. It's 25 minutes past 6 o'clock. It's Cambridge 105, the entertainment hour, and going to look at film and theatre now. A little bit theatre anyway, a little bit later. First of all, though, films, and we're starting with Expendables 3.
Indeed. We've got Mel Gibson and Harrison Ford joining the phenomenal cast for the third explosive Expendables thriller. Many years ago, Conrad Stonebanks was one of the five co-founders of the Expendables. Long thought dead after he became a ruthless arms dealer, Stonebanks now re-emerged with vengeance on his mind. This presents the biggest challenge yet for Barney, his ex-SAS second-in-command Lee, and the rest of the crew. Barney's solution is to bust co-founder Doc out of jail and augment the veterans with a team of younger tech-savvy recruits. Among the newcomers to this third high-octane Expendables movie is Harrison Ford, and also Kelsey Grammer as a mercenary recruiter, and Antonio Banderas as former Spanish Armed Forces sharpshooter Galgo. Together, they wreak mayhem in a high-stakes grudge match against a murderous opponent who's every bit as resourceful as themselves. That's a bit misleading, that synopsis, I've realised.
Yeah, it makes it sound more interesting than it actually is.
Yeah, it's all a bit circumstantial, I feel. I definitely left my brain at the cinema door at this point, outside the screen. It's an action film. It's a lot of people who have probably, you know, it's called Expendables. They probably spent most of what's left of their career and are just cashing in on old 80s action films.
The last thing I saw Antonio Banderas in was probably something like Spy Kids 3.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, to him, he is good in
it.
He's
the best thing about it. He's brilliant, and I wish he was in it more because he's fabulous.
No bias.
I love Antonio Banderas. I think he's brilliant and hugely underrated. But it was largely...
Again, there's too many...
A bit dull.
There's too much cast, and they're not getting enough screen time between them.
Do any of them get expended by the end of it?
No!
No! Again,
no! It's... three films! Who's died? Like, one person?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Liam Hemsworth. Not to spoil it, Liam Hemsworth, who was meant to be, like, you know, the potential, like, new...
Oh, I see. Yeah. So it's a bit like Star Trek, and the ones who you haven't seen before in the regular cast beam down to the planet, you know who's going to get it.
Red shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It was full of just cliche after cliche, and I know that's what you go to see these films for. You don't go to see them for any, you know, substantial... interesting plot, story, character development. Of course you don't, you're not looking for that. But I'm looking for more than recycled lines from their old films.
Yes, indeed.
Ah,
so good that they have
Arnold Schwarzenegger said get to the chopper twice. Twice!
Yeah.
In one film!
Don't bang the table, please.
I'm sorry, I'm getting quite passionate.
But I thought it was all right.
For big blockbuster fodder, like, it's fine.
How long does it last for?
Two and a half hours. Something like that. 126 minutes.
It just feels like two and a half hours.
I mean, I think you're right. I think there's too many of them for the film. There's too many people in it.
Can I just go and remake The Great Escape?
No!
Nope.
Never remake The Great Escape.
I've done it now.
Oh my gosh, what a classic! How could you? Oh no!
Sorry, how is The Great Escape in relation to...
Well, lots of cast members.
Of course. Yes.
I think that was a good way to use them all up.
But if you want to catch it... Oh, sorry, I've got
yeah,
any more to...
Yeah, let's... I don't think I can really say... But, oh, I'll tell you the bit I did... No, I won't tell you the bit I did like, because I see any good bit in it, and I don't want to spoil it for people.
They might encourage you to go.
For the one bit.
When Wesley Snipes says... Somebody says to Wesley Snipes, what did you go to prison for? And Wesley Snipes says, tax evasion. And it's funny because he actually did.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. That's the level of humour in this film. I also don't understand why they picked the name Barney for Sylvester Stallone. When I think of Barney, I think of a great big friendly purple dinosaur who terrified me as a child. But nevertheless, not this like huge macho like leader of the Expendables, I'm Sylvester Stallone. Hi, I'm called Barney.
Maybe there's a part for Barney in Expendables 4.
Yes. It would probably, you know, pack out the cast. Oh,
well, there can't be that many more left because most of them will be in Zimmer frames by the next
that
one.
That would be hilarious. I think would love that.
I think this one has a check local listings for details, really, isn't
we
it?
We do have time
do
for
you?
It. Yes,
yeah.
It's on at Cineworld at... this is, I want to say tomorrow's time. No, this is today's times. I'm so disorganised, so I'm sorry, everybody. It's on tonight at 8:50. You can catch it. And it's got about 5 showings a day over the weekend and next week as well.
And viewer also showing it at 8:15 and 9:30 tonight.
Even more showings. Great.
That's good.
That's what this film needs.
But it's not at the Arts Picture House, though, is it?
No, okay. It's not.
We've got a couple more to do. We've got a competition as well to do in
yes.
the world's time. So stand by for that. We will be very quizzical with you. 25 minutes now before 7 o'clock. We're doing film, and it's Lucy, which is a new movie, which is out. And who's going to talk about that?
Me, apparently.
Hattie Sky points. Is.
Yes. Yes, Lucy comes out tomorrow. It's a new film by Luc Besson, and it stars Scarlett Johansson. In Taiwan, terrified young American Lucy is abducted by a gang of brutal drug traffickers, telling her that she is to become their mule. They sew packets of narcotics into her stomach. But when these leak into her bloodstream, Lucy transforms, undergoes an astonishing transformation. As her brain becomes supercharged, she quickly acquires incredible strength, vast intellectual capacity, and amazing telekinetic powers. These allow her to turn the tables on her captors. The rapidly evolving Lucy then reaches out to academic professor Norman, played by Morgan Freeman, who theorizes that we only use 10% of our mental capacity. But what will happen when she goes to 100? Luc Besson, writer-director of Nikita and The Fifth Element, has created some of the screen's most extraordinary female action heroes. With Lucy, he takes the genre to a new level. So, yeah, I'm quite excited about this one.
Would you like to hear a clip to show how excited you are?
Oh, let's! Oh, yeah.
Hello?
Yes, I have important information about a group of drug traffickers. I need to speak with someone in a position of authority.
Uh-huh. You're very lucky there's no one with more authority in this office than me.
What is your name?
Listen up, Pierre Del Rio. Get off your desk, sit in your chair, pick up the red pen to the left of you and take down everything I say. There are no cameras. Hurry up. I have no time to waste.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be sending you the details of 3 people about to arrive in Europe. Each one is carrying a kilo of drugs. I need you to arrest them and collect the substance. I'll need it for later.
What form are these drugs in? Bars, capsules?
Powder. Hidden in plastic pouches inside their intestines.
Excuse me?
Make sure to be careful when you remove them. The product is very powerful. Believe me.
Oh, exciting. Yeah, it feels like it's going to be similar on the lines of Limitless, if you saw that, with Bradley Cooper, who also takes a mysterious pill that increases his brain capacity. Also, it feels a bit like Transcendence. If you've seen bits of the trailer, it seems like her power is becoming so great that she is transcending her form, that you know, her body is sort of disappearing. So one to look out for. I'm a fan of Luc Besson's work. He does action really well, but I also feel like he...
Luc Besson does a lot of stuff really well. He has an amazing back catalogue, but I feel the stuff that he's really known for, like Transporter and that, is not his greatest work.
If you
like Luc Besson, dig around. Find some really good stuff.
Like Leon.
And Angela.
Yeah. Angel A.
Yeah. Oh, Angela. Yeah, however you want to pronounce it, without spoiling anything. So, that's an awesome film. That's one of the best films ever made.
Okay.
Yeah, so my top 10. Anyway, so this is probably going to be good because it's got Scarlett Johansson in it. It's got Morgan Freeman in it. So, you know, people are going to love it, but I'm just...
You're not sure, are you?
There's just something off about it. Something just too awkward and... Oh, I'm not sure. I'll have to wait to see it to be able to tell you my honest opinion, but...
It'll be good.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, when's it
I
out?
Guarantee you most people will love it. It is out...
Tomorrow.
Yes.
But see local listings for details.
Because some of the times haven't been released yet.
Okay.
Yes.
And we'll no doubt find out about that. And we've got a competition now for Into the Storm. Tell
Into
me.
Into the Storm!
Oh dear, I should have said that more dramatically, shouldn't I? what's the movie about?
Try that again, Julian.
Okay, plus we have a competition now for Into the Storm.
Getting better.
Okay.
I'm literally blown away.
This is what's... lined up to be a spectacular disaster movie.
Does it star Michael Fish?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, sorry.
Okay, never mind.
Oh, I feel like I've let you down.
I'm sorry, I was hoping you might.
A perfect storm of extreme weather events ravages the town of Silverton. Tornado after tornado rips buildings asunder. Oh, that's a great word.
Asunder, yeah, I love asunder.
And terrifies the population. But storm trackers predict that the worst of these deadly cyclones is yet to come. The majority of townsfolk seek shelter wherever they can, battening down the hatches. But for professional storm chasers and amateur thrill seekers alike, this unprecedented assault presents the opportunity of a lifetime. So this is from the director of Final Destination 5, Stephen Quayle. He takes us right into the heart of Mother Nature's fury. His all-too-plausible? No. Disaster movie depicts this terrifying onslaught through the eyes and lenses of courageous townsfolk and reckless daredevils alike. They've used alike too many times.
Yeah, I'll stop you there from reading too far because that will be part of the question that I'm going to give.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now let's not give anything away.
No.
This, I think the trailer for this is awesome up until they reveal that there's about 6 tornadoes tramping about the countryside, wreaking havoc. One's on fire. Like, oh, come on. Oh, I thought this was going to be... When I first saw the trailer, I was absolutely blown away.
He's done that one already.
By, like, the first 20 seconds, 30 seconds of it, I was like, this is going to be so good. This is so exciting. No. It's just weird weather.
And I really like Twister, the original one, with is it Helen Hunt and Jeremy Paxman?
Yeah.
Wasn't Jeremy Paxton?
Bill Paxton. Was it Bill Paxton? Yeah, maybe. Sorry. That would have been an interesting one. He changes his day job, doesn't he?
Left these nights gone from movies. Actually, I think he's playing at the Edinburgh Festival, if I remember correctly.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, Jeremy, with his beard.
But yeah,
or not.
So we've got some really good prizes to give away for Into the Storm, including an umbrella.
Perfect.
Yes,
for running after down the street as it's being swept away by a tornado,
and blown inside out,
and also a waterproof jacket. And
also very useful for when the weather takes a nasty turn.
I have tested it; it's not some cheap stuff. It is like really good material,
but you'll get a new one, guys. It won't be one that, you know, Sky's taken out of the packet.
Of course,
secondhand reconditioned, just put back in, but not as well as when it came in the first time.
Also comes with a t-shirt and a bottle opener as well. So
both very useful for when you're in a storm, battening down the hatches.
So we have and a baseball cap. Mustn't forget
and
the baseball cap.
This is a bag of wonderment.
So you got 2 sets, including. With each set, you get 2 tickets to the cinema, courtesy of Cineworld. And all you have to do is answer this question. One of the main characters, a school teacher, also plays in The Hobbit, Thorin Oakenshield. Name the actor.
Okay, that seems straightforward. Repeat the question.
In Into the Storm, there is an actor who plays a school teacher. He also plays Thorin Oakenshield in The Hobbit movies. Name the actor.
Okay, if you know the answer to that, you can text us 07 919 070 490 or you can email drive at cambridge105.fm. We need to have your phone number or something on there.
Please.
Full terms and conditions are available on the website at cambridge105.fm. If you know the answer to the question, you can win the prize package like no other.
Yay. How exciting!
We're very excited. We're almost winded by it all.
And the film is out now, so check it out. In fact, I do have times for this one. We have them at...
It's on at Cineworld tonight at 8.40.
Yep, 8.40 at Cineworld, or view at 7:15. So you can just catch that one.
And it's on lots of times over the weekend as well. I did have those on a piece of paper, and guess who left them in the office?
I was going to say it was blown away as well.
Blown away by a tornado!
I think we need to do the travel just in case there's any wind on the A14. 10 minutes away from 7, the last ever Jack and Joe show at the top of the hour. Jack and Joe have arrived, the one with the beard and the other one. We've got a couple more things to talk about. And first of all, Doctor Who at the movies on Saturday.
Doctor Who, yes. This is Series 8, Episode 1, Deep Breath, plus live Q&A with Peter Capaldi. So this is the lovely Peter Capaldi making his Time Lord debut in this spectacular feature-length big screen adventure. The 12th Doctor embarks on his eagerly anticipated first time-travelling romp, which is set in Victorian London. He's joined by companion Clara Oswald in an episode that sees the return of the popular Paternoster Gang, Madame Vastra.
She's green and scaly.
She is, I remember now. Jenny Flint and Strax. That's pretty much all we know, as plot details are being kept under wraps. The teaser trailer shows the TARDIS on fire and the Doctor asking Clara whether he's a good man, which suggests momentous events are about to unfold.
It's on a little bit later than the previous seasons, I notice.
Yes,
suggesting the Doctor is going to be a little bit darker.
Yes, and I think the opening trailer as well has sort of hinted at that with these questions and little hints and stuff. So hopefully it's going to be a bit of a step up in terms of tension.
Did I read somewhere that possibly Jenna Coleman is stopping?
She's handed in her notice. she works at the corner shop. I'm not sure whether that's been confirmed, but apparently this is going to be her last series.
I thought that she was going to end at the end of the last season with Matt Smith. So they obviously, I don't know, either it was misinformation or they decided that they wanted to have at least some continuity. As often happens, an assistant will straddle two doctors, so you have some...
Whoa! This is a grown-up Doctor Who!
Now.
I think it's going to be really interesting. Peter Capaldi is a superb actor, so it's going to be really great. I mean, you know, I know people really love Matt Smith, but he just did not do it for me as a doctor at all. I was quite disappointed by his series. But I will be tuning in. So it's being played at the three big cinemas in Cambridge. You can catch it at View at 7:40, at the Arts Picture House at 7:35, and at Cineworld, the doors open at 7 o'clock and the footage starts from 7:44. So I should think they're all opening their doors early to get people in time for it to actually
start.
Which
is presumably in line with when it's been shown on BBC One.
Believe so.
Okay.
7:44. 44.
Set your watches.
That's 16 minutes.
A Time Lord would.
Unless you have a TARDIS. Yeah. Or a time turner, like Hermione.
Precisely. the other thing to mention is also on Saturday, which is the new arts programme on Cambridge 105, presented by somebody you know.
Yes, the lovely Daniel Pitt, the arts programmer at Cambridge Junction. Woohoo! Season launch night, September the 4th. Just plug that in there as well. It's going to be a great season of pop culture and arts. So check out the Junction website. Oh, what a plug. So the arts programme is going to be really good. There's all sorts going on. We've got an in-depth interview with Wising Arts Centre, a review of the Romsey Arts Festival, which we mentioned a couple of weeks ago on this programme, and a behind the scenes of the One Day Old Band project, which we also talked a bit about. And it was really successful. It went down really well. They gave a great performance and a fantastic mixture of talent, instruments, all sorts on that day. So so it will be great to see what went on behind the scenes.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you very much, both. And you're both back, presumably, next week with more film theatre.
No, we're not.
Where are we going?
Did we not tell you?
No!
we're not here next week.
We're going
I'm afraid.
Bristol to the Octangent Festival.
Yeah.
Now they tell us. I'll have to.
we could, you know, ring you up and. And do a review from there.
I have to go and find a stand-in, won't I? Oh, dear. New research is required for that. Okay, we'll see you in 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Definitely.
Okay.
Or does Arnold go, 2 weeks.
Back to the chopper.
Thank you. I seem to have inadvertently been caught out on an innuendo bingo. Thank you, Rob. Right, coming up in a few moments' time, just after 7 o'clock, it is the last Jack and Joe show. Guys, where are you going to?
Oh, well, Joe, this is my voice speaking now.
Okay, so this has identified it. Joe is the one with the beard, everybody. We've always wanted to know this for weeks.
Well, if you stay tuned to the show, you'll find out exactly what we look like, because one of our features is we describe one another in detail every week, again and again, in a relentless...
It's funny to us.
It's funny to us. I'm going to Stratford-upon-Avon. That's where I'm moving to.
And I'm not. So just that we're not in the same town makes doing a radio show together difficult.
You could have just the Jack show, couldn't you? It's what's happened before.
Well, I don't know. Like,
you're going somewhere else, though.
Stuff.
He may be going to a different country, which we can't talk about, but that's... not. He's not like a CIA spy, he's just...
Okay.
He's a normal man who may be moving jobs, that's all it is. So, yeah, that's why we're having to finish after...
Oh, that's a shame. So how long has he been on air for?
Three and a half years.
So much. Most of the life of the station, then, by the sounds of things.
And when we were at university, we did it for 3 years. So, like, almost, like, 8 years worth of time together on air.
Where did you get from? Three years?
Well, yeah,
because
there was a little... This is the kind of bickering you'll get if you stay tuned.
Stay tuned for the next couple of hours. Yeah. Well, good luck, guys. I'm sure that, as you probably are aware, that Cambridge 105 works on Hotel California rules, which is basically you can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. So, Jack and Joe, thanks very much, guys, and the show after 7 o'clock. The news, first of all, with Emma, including... reports that Islamic State militants who killed an American journalist demanded a ransom of £80 million for his release. On the roads, it's clearing up, I'm pleased to say, moving well, really, through most of our local routes, Fen Causeway in particular, through Trumpington Road and Newham Road. That's OK. The weather for tonight, mostly cloudy this evening with occasional showery rain arriving from the west. Some heavy. This will linger overnight, but become more fragmented towards dawn. Minimums of 12 Celsius, so a couple of degrees up on yesterday. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a few showers at first, but becoming drier during the morning with sunny spells. Some showers, though, on their way during the afternoon. 18 degrees Celsius, your forecast highs in Cambridge tomorrow. Have a very good evening. Listen to Jack and Joe. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 with the Gadget Guide at 5:30.